بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We continue with Surah Baqarah verse number 178. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى الحر بالحر والعبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فاتباع بالمعروف وأداء إليه بإحسان ذلك تخفيف من ربكم ورحمة فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم. O you who have faith, retribution is prescribed for you regarding the slain. Freeman for freeman, slave for a slave, and female for female. But if one is granted any extenuation by his brother, let the follow-up for the blood money be honorable, and let the payment to him be with kindness and gratitude. That is a remission from your Lord and a mercy. And should anyone transgress after that, there shall be a painful punishment for him. Now, from this point in Surah, a couple of laws and legislations are mentioned. The first one is about qisas, or retribution, retaliation of blood. First of all, about kutiba alaykum, it's written on you. Whenever this kitab is used in the Quran, it means it's a law. It's part of law. In other verses of the Quran, when we have, for example, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, he teaches them kitab, which is law. وَالْحِكْمَةِ is belief, ideology, things about God and hereafter. Or, for example, in Surah Bayyana, we have فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ, in this book there are كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ, it means very good laws, laws which are essential for the upkeep of the society. So when we say كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, it means it's a law. So it's a law written on you that you have to do qisas whenever someone is killed. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى, in those who are slain, qisas is written for you. And this should be, of course, commensurate to the legal status or social status of the people. Not the status in terms of, for example, position or power or things like that. In terms of what sort of financial damage it would bring to the family of the killed. And that's why he said, Al-hurru bil-hur wal-abdu bil-abd. If a free man is killed, a free man should be killed. The free man who is the killer should be killed in his place. If a slave is killed by a slave, then the slave will be killed as well. Well, could be killed, not necessarily. But if the slave is killed by a free man because they're a sort of financial value in the society are not equal, then the free man will not be killed necessarily, but will be punished severely and should pay the compensation for the slave. Of course, we don't have this anymore in our society, so we are not concerned about that. This is when there was slavery. In that society, that made huge sense. That certainly a free man should not have been killed for a slave. But wal untha bil untha, a female, if she's killed by a female, then the female could be killed by the awliya uddam. But if a female is killed by a male, then here the those who own the blood, awliya uddam, have two options. One, to pay the financial difference to the family of the killer and then do the qisas or retaliation, or take the compensation themselves. Now, why is this so? Because this seems very unfair that a man should not be killed for killing a woman unless they pay the half of the compensation. Actually, it is not in favor of males, in favor of female. Why? Because a female killed, the blood money would go to the man, to the husband, or to the sons of the female. If a male is killed, the blood money would go to the wife and to the family. Because men were breadwinners in the family, they were earners in the family. If a man was killed, actually the breadwinner of the family was killed. And therefore the compensation would have been twice, as if a female was killed and the blood money was given to the husband or the family. So this financial difference of family status made such a law that a female could not be, a male could not be killed for killing a female, but can pay the compensation. However, if the family of female insists that no, we want the man who has killed our relative or our mother or sister or whatever should be killed, then they have to pay to the family of the man who lose their breadwinner half the compensation, and then they could kill the man, the person who has killed the female. So we would see that this sort of difference in qisas, which has been there even in the Jewish scripture, was because of the to create the balance in the family of the murderer, especially in the family of the murderer, who had actually brought damage not only to the one who was killed, but brought damage to their family as well. Now, so the qisas is somehow variegated in this way. Al-hurru bil-hur, wal-abdu bil-abd, wal-untha bil-untha. Free man for free man, slave for a slave, and female for female. However, this is not something obligatory. There could be other options as well. And other options, what are the other options? Other options are that even you forgive completely, or you take blood money instead of killing the murderer. And this is something which in most cases settled the quarrel. But if one is granted any extenuation by his brother, فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. It's very interesting that the family of the killer, or the killer and the family of the one killed and murdered, are called brothers still, because these things happen in society. And it says that when these things happen, it would not break the bondage of brotherhood between members of society. And this is a great lesson for us, because if murder would not sever the bondage of brotherhood, what about other things? That sometimes we have hatred against each other for very trivial things that even could not be mentioned, for financial matters, for family issues, which we think that no, there is no relation between us anymore, no brotherhood anymore. Here it says even in these cases, which it happens sometimes out of anger or something, even the bondage of brotherhood would not break between the two families or the two people. فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. If someone is given forgiveness by his brother, And instead of retaliation and retribution, the person wants to take compensation and blood money. Then فَاتِّبَاءٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Now, how the blood money should be paid? First of all, the person who wants to take the blood money should not be very harsh, because it's a great sum of money. The family may not have it. Even not the person, the family may not have that. They have to somehow either borrow or get some time to pay back the blood money. So this following up for the blood money should be honorable, should not put the people in pressure, the family of the murderer especially, in pressure. فَاتِّبَاءٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Also, the family of the murderer who have to pay the blood money, the compensation, they shouldn't make it difficult for the family of the slain person. They have to give it with kindness, with gratitude. They have to be thankful that such a forgiveness has actually been given to them. So, فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاءٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. So both sides should be honorable. Both sides, after this, of course, terrible event has happened, terrible incident has happened, both sides should behave honorably. ذَلِكَ تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. This is remission from your Lord and the mercy. Now, ذَلِكَ, to what it refers, what is a remission? Some exegetes say that all these laws, the qisas and then the forgiveness and compensation, all of this is تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبَّكُمْ. Otherwise, if Allah wanted to really follow up such a crime, it would have been very harsh. However, this doesn't seem very plausible. What other exegetes have said that, well, this forgiveness and taking compensation is an alleviation, is a remission from your Lord. Otherwise, the killer should be killed. However, there is a reduction of punishment. Allah has been kind to you in social affairs, so that you can take the compensation or give the compensation instead of being killed. ذَلَكَ تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Whoever transgresses after that, then there shall be a painful punishment for him. What is transgression after that? It's sometimes possible that because the blood money or the right to forgive belongs to the heirs. Now, for example, there are brothers and sisters. If one of them forgives and the rest don't forgive, the person would not be killed. He would be given compensation. This is تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبَّكُمْ. فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. Even if part of this right is forgiven. For example, there are five brothers, five sisters there, as the heirs of the of the slain person, and they want, nine of them want qisas, retaliation. One of them, one of the sisters say, no, I forgive. مَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. Part of it, if is forgiven, then there cannot be retaliation. There cannot be qisas. So they have to take the blood money. Now, it is possible that some of the brothers later on say, no, we'll kill him. We didn't want to forgive. We didn't want to take retaliation, take compensation money. So why our sister, for example, forgave, we will not forgive? This, if someone does that, فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. If someone does that after that, after the sort of problem is settled by compensation, then they say, no, we want to kill. Or, for example, they take the compensation, but later on they say, no, although we have taken the compensation, we will kill the person. And we know that qisas is not the right, although it is a right for the family of the slain, it is the authority of the hakim, of the government, to carry it out. People individually cannot do qisas. They may ask for qisas, however, they are not permitted to carry it out themselves. So it is, they have to go to the court, they say whether they want compensation or they want qisas. If they say we want qisas, the government will do that. So people individually cannot do it. So after this is settled, if people individually want to go and carry out the, for example, they say we want to do qisas, this is lahu azabun alim. Also, there has been certain instances where, for example, the family of the slain would say that no, for example, the person who was killed in our family was very important. Not one person, or for example, we are of a very high social class and the killer is of a very low social class. We cannot just take one person in place of him. So again, this is wrong. We have in other verses of the Quran, for example, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ in Surah Isra, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. You cannot kill anyone unless if it is right, it is in law that qisas or for any other reason. وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا, if someone is killed without the right reason being there, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا, we have given power to the wali of that person who's killed. What does that mean? It means they have power to decide whether they want compensation or they want qisas. Not that they can kill, they have the power, as we have in other words, إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا, he is supported by the government. The people whose family member is killed, they are supported by the government. وَمَنْ قُتَلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ, they should not transgress in killing. What does that mean, they should not transgress in killing? Because among the Arabs, and of course this is something that we have to discuss in the next verse, the common law was that if someone was killed, they usually killed 10 people from the other tribe or family. They went around and killed anyone who was connected to the killer as well, or related to the killer. This happened. Sometimes we think that why Imam Ali, alayhi salam, for example, said to his heirs, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, that no one should be killed except my killer. Of course, there was a conspiracy. It was not only Abdullah ibn Muljam who killed Imam Ali alayhi salam. There were many other people involved. They planned it together. Now, Imam Ali says that only my killer should be killed, not all other people who are involved in this. Well, they may be arrested, punished, whatever, but because they had not committed qatl, they shouldn't have been killed. Because this happened, why Imam Ali says this? Because this happened at the time of the murder of the second caliph, Abdurrahman ibn Umar, his son. He killed several people. Because, of course, Firuz had killed his father, he killed those who were related to Firuz as well. So here, the verses, these things are not allowed at all. وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْغَدِ, they should not transgress in killing. And also here it says, فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلَكَ, after we have written this law for you, we have given this right to the family of the slain that they can do qisas and retaliate. After this law, if they want to transgress, if they want to kill more than one person because of the people, of their relative who's killed, then there will be great punishment for them. فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Now, the next verse actually talks about the philosophy of this law. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. There's life for you in qisas, in retribution, or you who possess intellect, maybe you will be God-weary. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. There was a saying in among the Arabs before this verse. They used to say, أَلْقَتْلُ أَنْفَالِ الْقَتْلِ. Killing would negate or drive away killing. Why? Because if, for example, someone was killed and the killer was killed because of that, then the fighting between two tribes, two families would have stopped if they had accepted such a law. Now, here, لَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ is something like that, but of course in a more beautiful and a more eloquent way. What does that mean, لَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ? There is life in qisas. It means there's life in killing, isn't it? First of all, why Allah tries to justify this law by this sentence, لَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ? Because usually people think, especially nowadays, in those days, of course, things were very different. That if someone was killed, we would kill all their male members, for example, of the family or whatever. But nowadays, especially, and in those days, some of the intellectuals, they thought that, okay, someone is killed, a life is taken. Now, why should we take another life? The killer is another living person. Why should we take another life? So instead of killing, we may take compensation, or we may put them in prison or whatever, we would not take another life by that. Now here, لَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ may have two meanings. One meaning is that by taking the life of the killer by the qisas, you would stop this habit of killing out of anger or whatever, or for any reason, for any other reason, for financial issues, for family, you somehow take it out from the society. Because if people think that by killing someone, they will be killed in place, they will be killed in retaliation, then they would think twice. Rather than if they think that, okay, we go to prison for a while and then we come out, or we live in prison for forever, whatever. But if the person is killed in place of, in retaliation for the slain person, he would think twice. This is the meaning of وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. It means it would reduce the murder in society. Another meaning of that, because some people would not agree with it, they say that the statistics shows that even in those societies where qisas is carried out, the rate of murder is not less than those societies where qisas is not carried out. They bring such an argument. Of course, this argument is not very strong, because the societies which are compared to each other are very different. I mean, we have to compare two societies in equal situation. For example, a third world society cannot be compared with a first world society in which there is no qisas, for example. Then we say, okay, it hasn't reduced the rate. We have to see if, for example, in Britain, say, now they don't have qisas or compensation. If qisas is introduced in this society, not in Egypt or in Iran or wherever, if qisas is introduced in this society, would that reduce the killing, or it would not reduce? Well, there is a very strong argument that yes, it would reduce the rate of murder. So, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. Especially, say, for example, in countries like Scandinavian countries, where the punishment for murder is, say, for example, 8 years or 10 years imprisonment. If that is changed by qisas, would it reduce the rate of murder, or it would not reduce? Well, the great guess, the strong guess, is that yes, it would reduce. So lakum fil qisas hayatun, qisas would somehow produce life in society, reduce murder. The other meaning of it is that by giving the right to qisas, you somehow eliminate hatred, animosity among different families, among different tribes. If qisas was not there as a law, and for example, the murderer was imprisoned or whatever, the family of the murdered person would have thought that, yes, let's go and take our revenge. Let's make our own sort of law, take law in our own hands. So it creates more death. It creates more revenge. So by qisas, there is a reduction of this lakum fil qisas hayatun. Ya ulil albab, O people who reflect. I guess, for ya ulil albab, because this is something quite natural and common sense, that retaliation may reduce. Although nowadays, as I said, the argument is that we shouldn't take a second life after a life is taken. However, if we reflect deeply, any act of injustice would create problems, difficulties in society. This is a supernatural law. This is that law of balance. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ. Allah raised the heavens, created the universe, and set down the balance. أَلَّا تَضْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. So that you would not deviate or transgress in that balance. Whatever we do in society, there is a repercussion coming back to us. And this is, of course, common sense among the believers. You give charity, you receive. You give by this hand, you receive by the other hand. You do bad to someone, bad would come to you. Now, if someone is murdered and nothing is done for it in society, that system of balance that Allah has set forth, which is underlying everything in this world, many things which happen, ma ashabakum min musibatin, all these calamities which hit you, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, is because what you do. Generally, I mean, as a community, as a society, because it hits you because of that. So if this zulm is not in any way settled, like, for example, by qisas or by forgiveness, which is mentioned, then you will be struck by calamities in your society, by strife. Sometimes wars break out, which we don't know where it has come from, and other calamities. So this Ya ulil albab talks about those who reflect deeper in the philosophy of the laws of God. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may be God-weary. Now, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ may mean, first of all, the killer may think twice when they want to kill someone. So it doesn't mean God-weary, it means just be fearful of the consequences of their actions. Or it may mean that by upholding these laws, the taqwa would spread among people in society. This was one law mentioned in the surah. The other law is about quite a different thing. Kutiba alaykum إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين. Prescribed for you when death approaches any of you and he leaves behind any property is that he makes a bequest for his parents and relatives in an honorable manner, an obligation of the God-weary. Now, because this verse is a point of controversy among Sunni and Shia, And the laws which are deduced from this verse are quite diverse. Inshallah, we leave this for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much, Indeed, Sheikh. So we have one question from the brother's side.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I don't have a question, but I have a comment.
Yes.
Is that all right? Arabs, during that time when Islam came, they were the most backward people at that time.
Yes.
And God brought Quran and Islam for them just to really develop their thinking. But I'm afraid this killing system that you were talking about, Quran told them to stop, unfortunately still going on now in Arab world.
Yes.
And it's the things, you know, when you say you killed one, they kill somebody else. And this is really very common, that if they don't find the killer, they find any relative to him and they kill him. And since he's not the killer, therefore the other tribe, they find another person and so on. This cycle of killing is really continuous. I mean, even recently, Ayatollah Sistani gave a degree and he said, look, this is haram. This is against what his Quran says. You should not kill innocent people. If they have nothing, you have to quote the killer and put in the... And you see, even Quran after really Islam came after 1,400 years, and still really we don't practice it and we don't really take the message. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the comments. This is a very good testimony for walakum fil qisas hayatun. If you follow the law of qisas, then there will be life in society. You don't kill many people. And also for these people who do that, in the name of honor or whatever, is that sentence at the end of the verse, فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. After this law, anyone transgressing in this, killing someone else, there will be great punishment for them, certainly. And in this comes, sorry, just mentioned, honor killing as well is included in that. That's because honor killing, that, for example, a girl commits something or goes with a boy or whatever, they tend to kill her. First of all, killing is not the right of the family, it's right of the, it should go to the court. Secondly, things may have been occurred which would not deserve killing. Other punishments should come in, for example. And then, regardless of what is the law of the Quran or what's the law of the Islam, they go and kill the girl and the boy, and they call it killing for honor, which is, again, completely wrong.
Okay. Any sisters? No? Maybe?
Okay, this is quizás a slave for a slave. I mean, why would you want to kill a slave? I mean, if someone, a free man has killed a slave, why would you kill a slave from that side rather than the free
man? No, you wouldn't kill a slave from that side. If the killer is a slave, then there is the right for the owner of the other slave to kill that slave. But not any other slave. But if the killer is a free man, he would not be killed, but will be severely punished. And then the compensation should be given to the owner of that slave. Not that another slave would be killed in price.
Thank you, sisters. Any sisters? No, brother? Yeah. Yes. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This verse, unfortunately, does bring a lot of implications for people who are speaking to people outside of the Muslim circle. And if I remember right, in the Bible also it said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I believe that was taken out of the New English edition a good 20 years ago, because they didn't want people...
Was it? Really?
I did hear at the time, in the time of Khomeini, that this an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it's either been watered down or it's been omitted Or it's been translated in a different way.
How is it reported on eyebrow for an eye?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they'll say an eyelash for an eyelash, so it doesn't sound... You see, the problem we are facing now is the barbaric nature of the edicts that we have. It's a different conversation when you talk about Trump and his guns, where it would really be a very good idea to have the death penalty straight away. But over here, we are trying to present ourselves as being civilized. So the minute you hear this particular verse, and I do remember this coming up time and again, is that you will kill somebody because that person has killed somebody, you're straight away looking for blood spilling and bloodletting. The reason that we have governments and laws and solicitors and judges is so that this would stop. Now, we've managed to do that. So are we now looking, can I get a black and white handle on this? Is this verse applicable to the Arabia at the time? Because there's a lot of implications here. I believe Saudi Arabia might still be going on to the system where they're actually killing the person who killed somebody. That might still be there.
Yeah, all Muslim countries do that.
All Muslim countries. Yeah. So I'd like you to tell us a bit more, because I have been to Dubai and there's been an accident, and straight away somebody said that the driver of the lorry had to pay blood money straight away to the person who died, his family. And give me an idea of where the blood, what the value is and how they apply it. And then let's talk about how this ayat actually does bring out these feelings of Islam is a barbaric religion, because it's asking for the death penalty. That's all. Is that the right thing?
Well, first of all, the nature of killing may be different. We have unintentional killing, we have manslaughter, and we have intentional killing. So there are three categories. In unintentional killing, or in manslaughter, unintentional killing is that, for example, you have an accident without having any fault of yourself, someone is killed. That's unintentional killing. Manslaughter is that, for example, someone drink drives and kills someone. That's manslaughter. They call it shabhul amd, something similar to intentional killing. And then intentional killing is that you just go about and kill someone with pre-planned sort of idea. The qisas comes only in the third category. None of the other categories, manslaughter or intentional killing or unintentional, they would not involve qisas. It's only compensation, blood money. Now, with regards to intentional killing, which is pre-thought killing, in these cases, of course, there is still great argument among the rational people in different societies whether we have to implement capital punishment or we shouldn't implement capital punishment. Is life imprisonment is a less punishment than just retaliation? I mean, is it better for you to be put in prison, especially if you say in American prisons, which is just like a torture place, for your life, or you are just killed for the murder, or you pay compensation? Which one is better? This is an argument which is going on still. Now, our argument would be, whatever the argument of both sides, we don't want to get involved in that. Why shouldn't we stick to what God has said? What God has actually ruled in Quran? We stick to that because there are opposing arguments in here, because there are strong sort of feelings on both sides, why shouldn't we just stick to this one? And Allah says it reduces crime. And we have to, as I said, we should not compare societies which are not equal to each other. We should compare one society. If we introduce this, if we do not introduce this, then we see whether it would reduce killing or not. And taking life has become such an important matter in modern society, of course, rightfully, not wrongfully, but just like, for example, you create wars to kill thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people to sell arms or these things. This is very common killing. But when it comes to very delicate sort of legal court, okay, we should not take lives and such things. Especially it has become important for secular mind that they do not believe in hereafter at all. They think that life is limited to this world. And we should not somehow deprive people of this limited short time of life. But if we think that, no, human being is eternal, and why shouldn't we enforce laws which first of all reduces the burden of the person who has committed something wrong, and secondly, it would make a better and more healthy environment in society, why shouldn't we go for that? The term barbaric is, of course, a label which is given in modern society to such laws. I don't think we should use these terms. These are just like terrorism. I mean, nowadays they are extending terrorism to governments, terrorist governments. And I think if we go by for a while, all governments who are against American hegemony will become terrorist governments. So we should not be afraid of these labels or use them, I think.
Thank you. Sisters? No, we've got a surprise, actually. Surprise?
Salaam alaikum, Sheikh. Sheikh, you made one, you referred to one ayat right now, that whatever musibah befalls on you, it's because of your own, what you've done. Now, if you...
Not individually.
I was asking, because you look at the musibah there, for example, some people have suffered, Aima especially, it doesn't correlate. So I'm trying to figure that out.
As I said, it's not individual. It's
this is only for
generally
society.
Generally, the society do things which it comes back to individuals who may have been innocent as well, but it comes back to individuals.
So also you have this another hadith that if you have not had any musibah for 40 days, think that Allah is not pleased with you. Does that come to society as well?
Well, the definition of musibah here is different.
Okay.
And in one hadith he says, even for example, if you think you have lost some money for 2 minutes, it's a musibah that comes to you. So who is there who doesn't get such musibah every day?
No, so I'm looking for understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. This is not musibah, this is ibtila. If ibtila doesn't come to you, if you are not tested for 40 days, it means that Allah is not actually giving you any credit.
And on an individual basis, can you tell the difference between a musibah and an ibtila? I mean, can you say, well, this is this and this is
that?
We
cannot say, no. It's only Allah who knows. It's only Allah who knows it. But on an individual basis as well, we know, for example, we do good to others, we receive good, we do bad to others, we receive bad. So it happens as well in that level.
You say that, but sometimes it doesn't happen in dunya, it happens in akhirah, but we can't see that.
Well, in most cases it happens in dunya as well, yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Najee, and then we go to pray.
Alaykum as-salam.
Assalamu alaikum, sorry. The verse of the Quran mentions al-hur bil-hur wal-abd bil-abd and so on. The cases that you mentioned in terms of a free man killing a slave or a free man, a male killing a female, these seem to be from a hadith, I assume, because the Quran doesn't explicitly discuss these. But obviously the implication has arisen, so what about these cases? It seems to me, at least, that the way that you mentioned in terms of, and probably it is, and I assume it must be from ahadith, otherwise they wouldn't have, these laws that you are mentioning wouldn't be just somebody just dreaming them up. But to me, it seems that a slave's life is less worthy than a free man's life. Were there issues in the past where, at least in, not necessarily in our sector, not necessarily one scholar who actually argued that, okay, the Quran doesn't actually talk in terms about these things, and that there is a possibility that irrespective of whether it's a free man or a slave or a man or a woman, that the life should be killed. I mean, obviously the option is always available to the relatives to forgive, and it is recommended that you do forgive. But has there been any cases that we see that no, this was not necessarily accepted?
Well, it is not because of the fact that a slave is less valued than a free man, or his life has less worth. It's because the implications that it has on other people. So a slave is someone who works for someone else, okay? He's not a breadwinner. So if a slave is killed, there wouldn't be many financial implications for the family, because again, the family of the slave are looked after by someone else, are owned by someone else, looked after by someone else. Now, but if a free man, suppose, for example, a man having a family, children, kills a slave. Now, if that man is going to be killed for that slave, the financial implication, the consequences that it has on his family is, of course, much stronger than the financial consequences of the slave being killed. I think we shouldn't just focus on worth of life here, because certainly in the eyes of Allah, in many narrations in the Quran, there's no difference between a slave or free man, there's no difference between man and woman. But when we want to legislate a law, we have to look into many different aspects of the situation. And I think what is looked after here, al-abdu bil-ad wal-hurru bil-hur, is these implications for the family of the murderer. I mean, the murderer is maybe a very vile person. However, he is a breadwinner by default. I mean, not there are exceptions all the time. He is a breadwinner. He is looking after a family. If this happens, then, of course, it would bring damage to other people rather than to the person himself.
Unless I've got it wrong, but I would have thought it would be even worse for the family of the slave, because if you kill the slave, then the slave owner, the only reason why he had the slave was he was getting some value out of it. He will abandon the family, and surely they would be even worse off than a free person's family who might have had some wealth at least.
No, because slave, usually it worked like this. A slave and their family were looked after, were owned by the slave owner and were looked after. And they worked for, all of them worked for the slave owner. So unless if you say that the slave had married outside, which would usually marry with another slave girl of another person who's looked after by that person, the general environment of society was that slaves, whether themselves, their wives, their family, were looked after either by one person or by several people. And that's why this law is made. And about the female, the same thing, because females were not breadwinners. There was a right, of course, for the slave, there was not a right to kill the free man, but he would be punished severely and should pay the compensation. But for the female, there was a right for their family to kill, or do qisas, the murderer, but they had to pay the difference in compensation.
Thank you. Sisters?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Is there a systematic method of making payment to the families or the wife or the husband on a death or a killing? Is it like, is there a formula or how do they decide?
It is determined by the court. Mm-hmm. However, in the past there was a sort of insurance system which worked in the family. And that is the compensation was to be distributed, to be actually paid by male relatives of the murderer. So if, for example, someone murders someone else, the uncles, the paternal uncles of the murderer and cousins were responsible to put the money together and pay. Now you may say, was that fair? It was fair because it would have happened for any of these people. And they had to share this. It was like, as I said, a sort of system of insurance. That nowadays, of course, insurance pays the blood money, especially, for example, I think in every country it's like that. If, for example, you kill someone unintentionally in the street by car, if you have an accident, the insurance will pay, isn't it? At that time, there was no such insurance company, so the insurance was made by these family members. However, having said that, it is finally the court who decides what should be the system of payment, what should be the installments, how should it be paid all at once if the person was wealthy, or installments if the person didn't have the money.
Yeah. Thank you. Brennan?
Yeah. What I would say actually approve what you said just now. And I think this discussion gets really very interesting. But can I actually mention a little story? When we were kids in school back in Najaf, the teacher asked us, our kid, he said, this ayah says, أَلَا تَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ, which is means, sees the greatness of God. You see how the camels and donkeys, being God created them. And he said, the teacher said, well, elephant is bigger than camel, and the lion is much, much stronger. Why God didn't say in Quran, أَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْفِيلِ كَيْفَ خُلَقَتْ? We were amazed. We start thinking. Eventually, we get to the point that these people in Saudi Arabia never seen an elephant. Therefore, if you tell them, see the elephant, nobody actually understand. And therefore, this has take us to what I want to say, actually. Most of these, what it says there, is really related to that society at that time, and which is really could be interpolated or extended to our society now. Therefore, as killings in the past used to be anybody being killed, anybody from the other family goes killed. Now we have more complex society, and we have government, we have authority. Even Imam Ali, what you said, actually, you are quite right. When he said to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, you have just to kill the person who really killed me, is the authority of the system, of the government of Islam, to give them instruction what to do. It wasn't like Imam Hussein killing as a revenge for his father. Therefore, now we have developed further, and we have at the moment, this society is very shameful to say there are slaves, and slaves should be this or that. Therefore, we have to develop that. When we were talking at that time, it was related to the society, what was really existence, as well as you said quite rightly, it was really no authority, and there were no insurance. Now we have insurance, we have police, we have authority. And therefore, what I think we have to interpolate this statement when we have to discuss is related to some of it to extend it, like actually cutting the somebody's hand or something like this. These things even been practiced sometimes and stop in Iran. Therefore, this should not be taken without actually interpolation properly to the advanced and complex society where we're living now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, this is a very complicated discussion, and any side we take, it has its advantages and its disadvantages. And especially if some law is written in a book, which is going to be a guide for human being forever, it's very difficult to just leave it and say, okay, we are now living in a different society. Our mujtahids are struggling with this matter, and they have put forward different theories of how we can, for example, think whether these laws are still applicable in certain circumstances or not, but they haven't come to a conclusion. And the theory of Wilayatul Faqih, which was introduced by Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi, was to solve these matters to some extent, that the jurist has the authority to say which law is applicable, which law is not applicable. However, that hasn't been quite developed. And therefore, for a person who believes in revelation, it is very difficult now to decide whether, for example, or which laws should be abandoned, which laws are not applicable anymore, or are we thinking that they are not applicable, and in reality they are applicable, but because we are used to certain legal system, we are used to certain value system, they seem strange to us. So my own approach to this is always to be very cautious when I want to say which law is applicable, which law is not applicable. And alhamdulillah, Allah has put the burden of all these to our maraj, and we just sit back and relax.
Any sisters? No? I think Abbas, you have it? Yeah.
Sheikh, just a couple of questions. In terms of when an intentional killing has happened, is there a recommendation to either take the blood money or to take the life?
Unintentional.
No, an intentional.
Intentional.
So, yeah.
Intentional. Well, it's just the
left on
equal
the
option.
Okay, it's left to me as the family to decide whether I take the blood money or the... Okay,
and as I said, the right goes to all the heirs. So if one of the heirs say, I want the blood money, then the right to retaliate will be
diminished. So
the heirs have
to come to a conclusion between themselves.
Yeah, it will be taken away, yes.
And then the second question I had is, if the blood money isn't raised, so let's say the court decided that the blood money is X, they couldn't raise it, could you then go back to the court and go for the killing option?
Well, the court decides at the beginning whether they can raise it or they cannot raise
it.
All
right.
Or the court may say, okay, this person does not have this amount. Would you agree with, for example, less money to take? So it will be settled. I think the combination of these two, taking the blood money or right to qisas, altogether would be much better than putting people in prison for life.
Yeah.
Because in most of the cases, people are forgiven, blood money is taken, the family of the slain would receive something which would be good for their upkeep for a while, and the life of the other person is saved. He can work, he can be an active member of society. So if we think about it as a whole, in combination, it's a very good law.
Yeah. Okay, so the final question I have. Once you either accept the blood money or the killing, is that deed still on the neck of the murderer, or is he now been absolved?
No, it's absolved.
So even God has absolved that person?
It's absolved, if they forgive. Well, provided the person repents. If he doesn't repent, then of course he has the sin on his...
So if he repents and he's paid the blood money, or he's been killed, then it's a deed that's offered.
That's right.
Any sisters? Riaz and then Sarfraz. Yeah, okay.
Just a simple clarification. So Mr. X kills Mr. Y's wife.
Yes.
Who gets the chop?
Who gets the?
The chop.
Well, Mr. Y can pay half the blood money to the family of Mr. X and ask for retaliation.
As well?
No. You see, not as well. You see, you say Mr. X
killed Mr. Y's wife.
Okay. Now, Mr. Y, well, it was different, I think, the other way around.
Either way.
Yeah. Suppose Mr. X kills Mr. Y's wife. Okay. Now, Mr. Y is given the option to either take the blood money for his wife or give half the blood money to Mr. X's family and have him killed.
So, have who killed?
Mr. X.
The murderer. Right?
Of course.
It's important.
It's not his wife being killed and then he himself being killed as well.
No. You see, now, this when you're talking about the slaves, and now especially when he's expounded it a bit, it sounds like, okay, because in, you see, a free man for a free man. So the
put the slave aside because we don't have slaves anymore. Okay,
that's so this is what I'm having difficulty with, because exceedingly it sounds like it could be heading in the wrong direction, because you might say the murderer is the one who needs to be killed, in simple words, nobody else. The blame doesn't go on anybody else, does it?
No, of course.
Right?
Who says that?
Well, this is it. Yeah, it's important. The way it came across, it could have gone either way. So I just wanted to clarify.
Sorry, which way was possible as well?
It's because when we were discussing, because when you put the two together, it was pointing towards, forget the half and the slaves. Mm-hmm. It's just that the murderer himself or herself. Now imagine he's a breadwinner, right? Mm-hmm. A free man for a free man is just a compensation, isn't it?
Not just, you see. If it's unintentional killing or manslaughter, it's just compensation.
That's all.
There's no killing.
Yep.
If it's intentional killing, then the family of the slain have the option to either ask for blood money or forgive completely or ask for retaliation.
So retaliation would be the killing of the murderer.
Oh, of course, murderer.
That's it, yeah. I just want to clarify that. Thanks.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Last one from Safran now? Oh, okay, we'll have. Fine.
So I just wanted to ask on that last case, when they pay half the value of the compensation, that's the compensation they've received from the murderer's family, and they keep half of that and then give back half, or they give half the value of what was calculated.
Sorry, I don't understand. What is that? Sorry.
So in this same situation, if they want to kill Mr. X because Mrs. Y was murdered, Mr. X is the killer.
And Mr. Y's wife.
Mrs. Y is
Mr.
killed.
Y's wife or Mr.
Y's wife. Mrs.
Yeah.
Y.
Okay.
She's killed. Mr. Y wants Mr. X to be killed.
Yeah.
And he pays half compensation.
To the family of Mr. X.
Is that compensation that he's received from Mr.
If he kills, he doesn't receive any compensation.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So you work out the theoretical value, you half it, and then you give it.
Yeah, because Mr. X is the breadwinner of the family.
Okay.
And Mrs. Y is, by default, not the breadwinner of the family. So if Mr. X is going to be killed, Mr. Y should pay half the compensation to the family of Mr. X and then have him killed.
Thank you. We're all hatching plans. I don't know why we're going into so much detail.
Yeah, thanks. It was much clearer because it was also confusing to me that supposing Mr. Y's wife who was killed, Y would receive some kind of a compensation, and then half of that would be given to
No, 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 no.
Okay, okay.
He either receives the compensation for the wife, or if his wife is killed, he just gives a price to Mr. X.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's much clearer now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salawat. We continue, inshallah, next week. Inshallah, Muhammad Salawat.